Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with me, Amy Babinchek, and James Kernan. Hey, good morning, James. Actually, it's afternoon. We usually do this in the morning. My bad.
That's all right. It's all right. Good to see you. Good to see you, Amy.
Good to see you, too. We have been enjoying an extended summer here.
Yes.
Same with you.
Yes. Yeah. So last week I was in Tampa, St. Petersburg, and it was in the mid-90s, but it was super humid and pleasant surprise. I remember looking at the forecast back in the Midwest here. It was in the low 80s, but no humidity. So when I came home this weekend, it was just amazing and just boating weather, gardening weather, outdoor weather. It was a top 10 day since I've been home. So I'm with you there. Love the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, it's weird. September started off cold, and then for about a week, it was really cold, and then it flipped around, and it's been an endless summer here. So things are good in the Midwest. I know our listeners were dying for a weather update. We haven't given one in a while, so.
You know, we do. You know. It seems like every conference I go to, I run into people, and thank you for listening. We love the feedback, but I often get feedback on the weather report. So that's funny that you said that.
You know, it's become our thing. All right. Question of the week this week. And don't forget to keep sending those in, guys. It's an important one. And it's a question that so many MSPs have right now. And that is, how can you monetize AI? Maybe do an AI as a service. Do something with AI so that you're making money because it's the future, right? Everything's going AI. How are we going to make money? I know you talked about this at your event, your Tampa event.
Yeah. So it's great. It's great timing of that. But, you know, what's interesting is we've talked a lot about this topic, Amy, you and I on the podcast for the last 6 months. And there was a light bulb that went off for me. There was a presentation around AI. And the idea that came up, you know, for your managed clients or even prospects, you know, we take it for granted. You know, you deploy Copilot, it's integrated with everything, or you deploy ChatGPT. The concept came up of just selling those just as projects, but separating them, don't make it the same, but separating those for, you know, not just prospects, but your clients. And a lot of people in the room, at least at this conference, are guilty of the AI. I've already deployed it, kind of shown some basic things, but they just did it as part of their managed services. But the overwhelming conclusion is it absolutely should be a billable project because there's a lot to it and a lot more you could do. So for me, I love it. Just project number one is Microsoft Copilot and deploying it inside the business. That's project number one. And project number two is ChatGPT. And then getting those two to talk to each other, you know, would be the second part of that second project. But it's all billable time that we should be, you know, setting expectations and billing clients. So I love that because most of the people in the room at that conference had deployed one or the other of those technologies internally. And several of them, you know, have the paid versions and those programs are talking to each other and they know how to lock them down. But so they've used themselves as guinea pigs. So I like just that part for sure, you know, selling it as a project.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things we talk about in the class that I teach. We have I have a section in there on this. So we're really focused on what can MSPs do that they already know how to do when it comes to AI, right? And you're going to make money on it. So Microsoft, you know, if we're talking about 365 Copilot, Microsoft's got a bunch of materials already built. You don't have to build out this project. Microsoft already did it for you. There's a launch day kit that's going to help you build up excitement for this new tool that's coming in. So there's like, there's info sheets, there's games to play, there's things to try, there's a bunch of stuff for management to get them on board. This is all before it launches. And then there's a success kit that's got instructions for admins, for, you know, our IT admins, for how to secure and manage Copilot going forward. And then also for team leaders to help drive success. And then there's an adoption toolkit out there as well. The adoption toolkit takes you right from that day that you've deployed it and you've got your champions on board all the way through the next 18 months. Because Microsoft knows really to fully adopt this stuff and get it integrated into the business, it's an 18-month long project. So it's not just the MSP doing it, right? But you're going to be the leader and you're going to be showing their team leaders, their department managers, the owners of the company, how to lead this new change in their company, because it's a lot of change and a lot of opportunity for them.
Yeah. And Amy, one other really important point to that is, so Microsoft hasn't only just rolled out, you know, here's the project plan and the data sheets to do this. They've got marketing dollars available for you to successfully deploy things like this. So many of you as Microsoft partners have access to over $800 million of rebate money when you tell Microsoft that you're deploying Copilot. There's all sorts of buckets of money available, but that's one of them. And you just need to report back to Microsoft that you're doing this and provide other information. But look into that. That's so not only can you make money on the end user client, but you also can get rebate dollars from Microsoft by successfully deploying that. So cool stuff.
Yeah, there's marketing dollars in there too. So if you want to go to your chamber, Rotary, or whatever business group and talk about this, Microsoft will pay you to do that.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to get into those programs. That's part of the Microsoft Partner Program, and there's benefits in there. You and I both made a lot of money over those programs over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You gotta dive in, and there's rules to follow and things to do, but there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in the AI right now. So short story, you can absolutely monetize AI. And you don't have to go hire AI developers and you don't have to go out and create agents. You can use the skills that you already have in your MSP to get this going. Maybe you get into agents later, you know, but you can start right today using the strengths and skills that your team already has.
Yeah. 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 I'm excited more than ever about AI. And you've heard both Amy and I cheerleading. You know, there's one, an opportunity to win a lot of new business with existing clients and prospects, but leverage that as your differentiator, as your secret sauce in your business to enhance your unique selling proposition or your elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it. But it's really a great opportunity for you to separate yourself from other MSPs in the area. So really, really, really encourage you to educate yourself, identify these opportunities, and kind of roll that out inside your customer base. And I think the timing is perfect for people to go through Amy's class. I'm really excited for that, which is starting this month, October. Excited for that to get going. So,
yeah. Yep. Head on over to thirdtier.net and get signed up for that. You know, some of this stuff is going to land in your MSP contract. Some of it's going to land as projects. Some of it's going to land as new service offerings that you have that, like James said, sets you guys apart from the competition. That's what it's all about. Everyone's always saying, you know, well, I don't know. We all do the same things. And it's like, we don't all have to do the same things. This is a great opportunity for you to get out in front of 99% of your competition is not even thinking this way yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's an exciting opportunity, and it's probably one of the single largest opportunities that I've seen. You know, cybersecurity was huge. It's all we talked about the last few years, but I think AI is even bigger, and it's a disruptor. So we're at the very beginning stages of it. So I encourage you to educate yourself.
It is, you know, your customers want you to be the leader. They're looking for a leader. And your MSP is exactly positioned to be that leader. Make sure they don't look past you.
Yeah.
All right. News. A lot of stuff in the news today. A lot of stuff in the news. So today is a big day for cybersecurity. The CISA Act expires actually the day you and I are recording this. It expires.
Yeah.
There's no signs that it's going to be renewed. They turned it into a political football. And what this thing actually does, this isn't CISA the organization. This is CISA the, what I want to call it, partnership, I guess, with private business. It's one of those very successful public-private partnerships that we hear a lot about in recent years, more effective government. And what it is it allows businesses to report the discovery of cyber flaws, either in their own products that they're using, and they report it to the federal government. They have immunity when they do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it lets them, they can do it anonymously. They get protection from prosecution, things like this. So it allows these bits of the stories of a cybersecurity situation, I guess you want to call that, like, you know, flaws in softwares and things to be put together, or maybe it's a cybersecurity event, but it was fairly minor, right? But they still want to let somebody know about it. And they can look at that and say, oh, you know, somebody else had something that was very much like that, but in a different scenario. And then they look at that and see if these things are related. And I heard in an article that we're going to share, they talked about it, you know, saying, oh, you know, someone sees the tail, someone sees the ear, someone sees the hoof. Pretty soon, we get enough information from all these private companies being able to report it. We can actually get a clear picture of what the cybersecurity incident actually is and what's going on there, hopefully before it becomes a big, major, overblown incident. And that's what we're losing. So we lose that at midnight tonight, and Congress doesn't look like they're not making a lot of noise about re-upping it, because they're all doing their budget fight right now. But I'm hoping it will come around again. It's a big loss for cybersecurity for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's other important things in the news as well that are stealing the headlines. So we're not hearing too much about this, but I'm hopeful and optimistic that they'll quickly come to their senses and get this back on track. So, but it is big news for sure.
Yeah. And we just wanted to take a moment to remind everybody that Windows 10 end of life is October 14th. That is really soon. So if you've not deployed your ESUs to continue those security updates or yet convinced your clients, do remind them again that they need to update to Windows 11.
Yeah.
It's a cybersecurity issue too. It really is.
Absolutely.
Now, it's not just that Microsoft is doing this to you. You know, older software can't be secured in many cases. You know, when they develop software, they don't know what's going to be happening on the cybersecurity front or what new techniques and things are going to be invented in the next, you know, 14 years.
Right.
So we got to get this stuff out of circulation and get the newer, more secure operating systems in place.
Yep. I see California is in the news again.
Yeah, in a good way today. Yeah. They've got a new AI bill that they finally got all the way through. Governor Newsom vetoed a couple versions of it, and the AI community was unhappy with a couple versions of it, but they finally figured it out. And AI folks, especially Anthropic, was really big on getting this passed.
Yeah.
What they want to do is, what they are doing, I should say, is causing the AI companies to be more transparent. You know, if there's privacy concerns, if there's cybersecurity issues that they're aware of in their applications, requires them to disclose that information. But there's another really cool part of this, though. And the cool part of this is that they've also agreed to start an open source AI farm. So you will have open source LLM that comes out of this as well, is supported by the big AI firms in California, which most all of them are there, and for use by researchers and universities. So real opportunities for for students to have access, free access into big, large language models to be able to come up with the next great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like this kind of legislation.
Yeah,
The AI industry knows it's needed as well, and they wanted something smart, so they got involved in making it happen, and then also putting together this LLM open source package that helps drive the industry forward too. So I think it's real smart legislation. Glad they finally got that passed.
Yeah, that's a big, big win for California. So good for them.
Yep. So the other article that really caught our eye was this thing that Jay McBain put out on the changing demographics. And I know, demographics is something that I worry about as an MSP because I could see my long-term clients getting older.
Yeah.
I was like, am I doing the things that allows me to keep those clients that are run by old people happy? At the same time, am I appealing to new business owners that are younger?
Yeah.
That is a real concern for MSPs.
Yeah, it was fascinating to me. There's something that really stood out, and we've been at this for a long time. And I've always said in training classes, professional sales classes, the importance of forming strong professional relationships, building trust, rapport with your clients, and people have to like you, trust you, and know what you do in order for them to buy from you. But to me, it was heavy relationship driven. And one part of this, just with the new generation taking a higher percentage of the purchasing power, that these younger buyers really trust peer influence, community, marketplaces, and they're more online. And 75% of them don't want to talk to a human. Okay. And that's kind of mind-boggling to me.
I was going to say, James, you stumble. Don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
That like takes the whole sales model and flips it on its head, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I've seen more and more people talk about this at technology conferences about, purchase big contracts being won over chat or text. And mm-hmm. I get that. I'm hoping or thinking that there needs to be a little bit of trust or relationship, or at least a face-to-face visit, so you're dealing with a real human being, and not an AI avatar or some hack.
Yeah, I think that comes now. I think that comes at the end instead of the beginning.
Yeah,
that's the real change. So I did want to point out that. So right now, this article said 51% of buyers are millennials. Today, mm-hmm. but by 2030, Gen Z is going to be 66% of your buyers.
Yeah.
That's only 5 years from now.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that don't want to talk to humans. So in the next 5 years, you got to figure that out. Well, actually, it's going to be ramping up to that 66. So you may as well start figuring it out now.
Right.
they want to talk to the human later after they have that trust, after they kind of felt like they started to have that relationship with you. And they're building that trust not in person. They're building that trust online. They're building it from your brand, from your videos. If you said TikTok,
yeah,
you know, direct DMs through Instagram. I can't believe how much that generation uses Instagram, you know.
Yeah.
It's a main communication source for them. And, you know, I guess after they've seen enough of your videos and pictures and stuff like that on there, that they feel like they know you, you've built up that trust as, so this guy's really an expert. I follow him on Instagram, and, you know, they'll DM you, and then you're off to the races. You know, then you can do a DM chat and eventually meet them in person, but upside down.
It's interesting. So at the last mastermind conference, this last week, there were 50 MSPs in the room, and it came up. I remember asking a question around this, but I said, hey, on your websites, how many of you have a chat that you can communicate and answer questions to visitors that come in? And very few hands went up, just about 10% of the room. And then I said, well, do you do anything with that data? You know, when you collect the data from people, and several hands even just dropped from there. So with more of an online presence, you know, break out those chat bots for your websites to be collecting that data. But that's one of the ways people like communicating, you know, text, chat.
Yeah.
You just don't want to talk to a live human. And I kind of get that. My preference nowadays, when you're busy, I'd rather just text someone an update or get an answer that way instead of have a phone conversation. You get locked in, especially to those verbose friends of ours that talk for a half hour. You know, I get part of that, but it's still foreign to me.
Yeah, I was just telling someone this morning that I actually wrote a blog post some months ago now called Process, the People Before Process. Mm-hmm. There's always a lot of talk in our industry about process, and this thing about not wanting to talk to a human kind of reminds me of that. My thing was, I think a lot of times we're over processed and not enough people focused. You know, and ultimately we're service businesses, and service is a personal thing. So I always like to put the people before the process, and if at all possible, not let your customers know that they're in your process, right? We all have to have a process. We don't have to let people know they're in it. And, you know, the best example of that is, when's the last time you enjoyed that phone tree?
Yes.
You know, you didn't, but because you were locked into somebody's process. Now, Microsoft has a free Copilot chat bot that you can put on your website. So when you buy that Copilot license, that's one of the things that you get. You can deploy that onto your website pretty easily. Make sure you have a way to break out. Right. People will talk to the bot for a couple of minutes, maybe, and then they want to go to a person.
Yeah.
So you got to have a way to break out and have that person. The tricky bit's having that person always available for that moment when a potential customer wants to break out and talk to a person.
Yeah.
They will eventually.
Yep. Yeah. I know I always do. I do. You get some basic info and it's like, let me talk to a human.
Yep, I do the same thing, and I'm not a big human talker. I always tell people, you know, I can stand up in front of a room and give a presentation, but I can't order pizza. It's real, you know. It's just a different level of different type of communication, different level of intimacy, I guess. But like you, when I'm in a chatbot, a lot of times I'll take the chatbot to a certain point, and then, So many times the chatbot itself will prompt and say, you know, would you like to speak to one of my, you know, to a human? And I'll say yes, and they'll come into the chatbot, right? And it's different, stepping experience. You can still tell the difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, one more article we wanted to tell you guys about. Justice Department just scored $98 million from a company called Lumina that for the False Claims Act. And what they did is they sold their product to the federal government, claiming that it had certain cybersecurity capabilities and met certain standards when it did not. And they got busted. And now they've got a big fat fine on their hands. And frankly, I'm kind of glad to see it. I like to see companies being held responsible for what they say their software can do.
Yeah, it was interesting. I never knew this. Lumina is a Delaware corporation, but I know they're headquartered in San Diego. That used to be a client of mine years ago. They were a big small world. So it's a shame that happened. But Amy, I agree with you. I love the accountability. It's so important because it protects all of us in the channel. You know, people need to be honest and ethical. And if they're not, then they need to be held accountable to that. So, because it puts all of us at risk. So that was a interesting article, but I'm glad to see the accountability part of it.
Absolutely. Well, you just finished a mastermind event. Now you got another one.
Yeah. You know, it's always funny in Q4 because it just seems like because of the holidays, we move the event up to the beginning of the month, not the end of the month. But yeah, we're 2 months out already from the next mastermind in Newport Beach. That should be a lot of fun in Southern California. It's one of my favorite events because it's the holiday season. You know, every hotel you go to has the Christmas trees. And last time we were there, we did a harbor cruise through Newport Harbor.
What it is about Newport Beach. I like that place. I don't know why. It's just when you're going into it, you feel like I'm just in another place in LA, right? But then you get settled in and there's something about the vibe there. I really like Newport
Beach. Great vibe, great weather. Don't get me started on the weather, of course. But that time of the year, it's the holidays. And a lot of the big yachts and sailboats have holiday lights. And then your cruise around the harbor, and then all the back of the houses are all decorated as well. Just so pretty. But it's a fun event. And my head is still spinning from Florida last week. We had just an amazing event. Great content, great speakers.
James got you through, threw down your own gauntlet. Now you have to top it for December.
I know. The pressure's on. They just keep getting bigger and better. So a lot of great topics from AI to mergers and acquisitions, valuations, lead gen. And some of the sessions that we do that I encourage you, other events that you guys go to, try to encourage them to do things like this. We had several MSPs get up in front of the room and report out how they're doing so far this year. You know, what their goals were, if they're hitting their goals, you know, what they did to get there, what's going right, what's not going right. But it's all real information. And I love sessions like that because you really learn what's going on in the trenches. So that's a lot of fun.
Yep. That you're not alone moment.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Well, great. Hey, that wraps it up for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this edition of the SMB Community Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.